See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs. And he has given him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamech of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work, all of them skilled workers and designers. By looking at this ordination passage, we get a picture of what it could look like to form our practice in the way of Bezalel and the wise-hearted ones. What gifts we could pray for, how to tune and train our hearts. We start to see that how we create is as important as what we create. Our soul craft becomes the basis for our artistic craft. Bezalel's task was to lead a company of artists on a grand scale. And for this work, God ordained that he would need special ability. So he gave him the gifts of the Spirit for artists. And he has filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and all craftsmanship. Now it's worth pausing here to consider that the ordination of Bezalel is the first recorded instance in the Bible of anyone being filled with the Spirit of God. That's pretty incredible. The last time we hear of the Spirit was hovering over the waters in the creative drama of Genesis. And now, here the Spirit returns in the most significant creative act since then, the creation of God's dwelling place on earth, the tabernacle. This ordination of Bezalel is the first we see of God's dwelling in a person. I find this to be incredibly significant. In addition to this incredible gift of the Spirit, Bezalel is then given wisdom, understanding, knowledge, craftsmanship, a community of support, a framework and structure in which to live and work, and the ability to teach and lead others. Now, at first glance, that list of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, that may just sound like different ways to say the same thing. But when we look at the Hebrew words, it helps us to understand the nuance and that these are different gifts. The first one is wisdom. And the Hebrew word connotes a capacity basically for acting wisely, being skillful, talented, or prudent. So there's this sense here of maturity in both daily and religious life. Of course, as a craftsperson, it speaks to the commitment to artistic craft and a capacity for vision. As a religious or a spiritual person, it describes one who exhibits faithfulness. So this is here where we first see this idea of being wise-hearted. Bezalel is gifted with spiritual and creative maturity that allows him to act freely out of his innermost self because he is deeply rooted in and connected to the will of God. Now, thinking about this in relation to our personal calling, we need to pray for and develop this kind of wisdom, a recognition of who is calling us, developing a disciplined self-knowledge. If we feel called to something, then the first most logical question is, called by whom? Maybe this seems obvious, but I think it's often skipped over. We kind of accept this general feeling or inclination and passion for something to be a calling that either requires us to simply blindly stumble our way after it, pursue it at all costs, or just sit and lament our lack of capacity to follow. But developing this wisdom is the most important step. We have to clearly identify where that calling is coming from. Without that clarity, we're not only going to be lost in what we're to do, but in who we are. And that sense of being lost can lead to all kinds of damage, frustration, wasted time and effort. We've all been there. Not to mention us being unsure of whether or not our call is real and what's expected of us in that call. Now, for the Christian, this should be easy to answer. God is the author, the creator, the divine parent, the one who shaped us and knows us and clearly calls us. But we're in a space and time where identity is something most people carefully construct through a series of choices, none of which are supposedly any better than the other. Rather, it's our conscious choosing that makes this identity valid. But the downside of our authentic self, quote unquote, is that there is no larger story to compare ourselves to. There's nothing to check in with and see if our choices measure up, except with peers and social media influencers who are just stumbling around just as blindly as we are, choosing based on the needs of the moment. And we as Christians are drawn into this as much as anybody else, and we're foolish if we don't acknowledge our own susceptibility. But the antidote to that sense of blindly wandering around is to see ourselves, our story, in light of a larger story, God's story, of which we are but one small part. But within this story, as laid out in the biblical narrative, we begin to see a plan for who we were created to be. An identity that gives very solid grounding, a sense of purpose, and ultimately a lot of freedom. In fact, it's in this identity that we're able to find our authentic sense of self and the capacity to truly live at peace with our neighbors. For an artist who's called to serve God in visionary or prophetic capacity, it's essential to be crystal clear on who you are, who you were created to be, what story you are in. This takes a great deal of self-reflection and maturity, wisdom. It's vital that we cultivate a deep capacity to reflect and grow and change. In order to effectively do our work, we have to cultivate humility and patience and perseverance, as well as the ability to self-critically examine the gap between who we think we are and what we think we value, and the way we actually play that out in our lives and work. And we have to be courageous enough to explore where our lives and past experiences need healing or reconciliation in order to move forward constructively. We have to make generous space in our lives and in our work for reflection and find constructive ways of dealing with anxiety and doubt and fear. And this is difficult work. It requires multiple levels of frameworks, practice, and community to provide the kind of accountability and encouragement we need. And that's just the first gift. The second is understanding. In the Hebrew, it's trying to convey a sense of discernment, is basically what we're talking about. To diligently consider, pay close attention, or taste. Once again, for Bezalel, this has both spiritual and creative implications. Having been given this capacity to discern God's will and intention for his people, Bezalel was then capable of interpreting God's instructions and blueprints with a heart knowledge beyond what was literally conveyed by Moses. Simply put, Bezalel was given the discernment to understand the difference between idol making and tabernacle building. This discernment carries over into his creative sensibility as well, giving him extraordinary powers of perception. That discernment, mixed with his skill and capacity for vision, gave him discerning taste, a fundamental but seemingly ineffable quality that was essential in creating something as intricate and extraordinary as the tabernacle and all that went in it. And this connection between discernment and taste is something we need to pray for and cultivate as well. It's something that allows us to have the ability to engage critically with the issues facing our world with spiritual and artistic integrity. I believe that God gave us artistic and creative gifts on purpose. I don't think it's an accident. And no, it isn't something that just anyone can do. Truly great writers are not common. Sea change visual artists are one in a million. Actors and filmmakers who make it are less than 1% of all who ever try. And of that, far, far fewer are considered masters of their craft. No matter who we create for, or who our audience is, or what our level of development is, this work is work that requires commitment, focus, training, and includes responsibility. We must be mature people as well and take seriously the opportunity and possibly even the call to leadership that may arise. And when I'm talking about leadership, it's not usually the kind of leadership we think of, a lone person leading an organization, a politician or a pastor speaking and telling people how things should be or where to go or what to do. It's a leadership of awareness, of ideas, of imagination, of sparks and insights and experiences and emotions. And immature and damaged people in these endeavors lead to creating an ethos of pain, nihilism, and damage. How can we not say that Christians have a responsibility to be faithful as leaders in this cultural arena? And how can we expect to lead if we don't cultivate this discernment and taste? Then there's knowledge. This is about really just knowing what you're doing, having the mastery of the disciplines of your craft, really, really owning it. It's a knowledge that can only come from practice and experience. It's the kind of knowledge that's just proficiency and the ability to deliver on the vision set in front of you, the ability to turn an idea into something real. For Bezalel and Oholiab, they were called for a particular purpose, and they were clear of what was to be accomplished and why for the season they were in. Just like it's essential for us to have a clear understanding of who is calling and our identity within that story, we have to have a clear sense of vision and vocation. As we mature in life, our career, and our faith, new opportunities arise. New goals come forward, and life offers challenges and setbacks. And knowing our underlying vision, what we were created to make, or our why, allows us to adapt to our circumstances within the context of our call. As we develop a concentrated focus, informed point of view, clarity about our audience and the things we naturally make and create, we're able to be available to do whatever God is calling us to do in any number of circumstances and ways. We become adaptable, yet secure and stable. Not to mention experiencing the freedom of simply enjoying the creative process. And then there's craftsmanship, which has to do with the occupation, your work. It comes actually, interestingly, from the same word malak that is used for messenger, ambassadors, angel, or envoys. So you can think of it as these artists are set to work as conduits for God's message, conveying through the work of their hands the will of God's heart. Here God gives Bezalel and then Oholiab skill and knowledge in all crafts and trades in order that they can supervise and teach others. He gifts them with a capacity beyond their own, using their disciplined experience and knowledge to grow into new forms of creative expression and craftsmanship. These artists were artistically prepared and practiced. They had honed their natural talent and gifts to proficiency. And it should go without saying that an artist called by God needs to be proficient in our disciplines, that aiming for the mastery of craft needs to be of utmost importance. If we are to do work that engages other people, we have to be good at what we do. If we are going to be messengers, ambassadors, that requires more than self-expression. Or let it say it requires something beyond self-expression. If I'm making art for others, then I am in dialogue. I have to present my point of view, my offering to the conversation as coherently as I can, and perhaps even more artfully and poetically. If I'm not a master of my tools and skills, then what I communicate is a poor shadow of what I intended. Then the expression is merely for myself, how it feels as it comes out of me with little concern for what it could be for the viewer or the listener or the reader. Artistic integrity is just as essential as spiritual integrity. I can say this because for the artist, they are linked. There is no secular sacred divide here. The artistic craft are the tools we use to embody and bring to life the gifts the Spirit of God has filled and blessed us with. In addition to all these gifts of creative and spiritual knowledge, God gave Bezalel gifts to sustain him in his work, a community of support, a framework and structure in which to live and work, and the ability to teach others and lead, or the ability to engage others into the process of making the work happen and to pass on his skill to future generations. Let's take a look at those frameworks. The first part of that framework is a community of support. These gifts I just mentioned are only honed and developed within the structure of community. In many instances, people in the Bible are called to a solitary mission. But it's important to note that in this instance, they were not alone. Aholiab was called as Bezalel's assistant. Plus, an entire cohort of hundreds of artisans were also prepared and made themselves teachable. Plus, there were hundreds of patrons, donors who gave with the right heart, or as their hearts were moved, the scripture said, and they gave all that was needed to fulfill the task. Plus, they received the support, the encouragement, blessing, trust, and freedom from the religious leaders like Moses and Aaron. One of the most important frameworks for us as artists is our relationships. First, our relationship with God, and then with others. To survive and thrive as an artist, the cultivation of empowering relationships needs to be cornerstone of our creative practice. Perhaps especially for those of us who are introverted and prefer to work alone, this is an area that we may feel less than skilled at. Relationships are difficult, especially when we're solitary people. And yet, it's impossible to grow outside of relationships and community. As much as we may think we've developed our character, we don't really know until it's tested in the arena of relationship. As artists called by God to work in ways that engage people constructively, both in a prophetic and visionary ways, we have to develop the ability to listen and learn from many viewpoints, treat others well, and invite others into relationship with us. And like Bezalel and Aholiab, we must always be conscious of lifting up those coming behind us, considering how our work and experience might benefit other artists. Alongside the framework of empowering relationships is the framework of commitment to core spiritual practices. In both Exodus 31 and 35, the calling of the wise-hearted ones is immediately preceded or followed by the same reminder from God, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. And these are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Sabbath commandment brackets the calling of all artists and the description of the work to be done. It's non-negotiable. Without Sabbath observance, the work cannot be done. Those who do not obey the command are actually excluded from future participation. In fact, God says they're to be put to death, so he's pretty serious. It shows the extremeness of that command. While it is included in the Ten Commandments, it's this alongside with the command to make no idols that God repeats over and over and over again. It's just not possible to remain in God's will apart from abiding in his presence. Only by regular Sabbath observance can the work be done. Any artist knows that creativity dies with a lack of rest, with a lack of distance and quiet reset. Any Christian knows the spiritual life dries up without the same. Yet we are sometimes so driven by our ambition that we are too often value productivity over time off. We're afraid that if we leave the project for a while, we'll lose the inspiration. It's a gift, then, that God commands us to stop. As much as artists are known for working outside the box, this only works well if there is a box to begin with. The framework of the Law of the Covenant, the holy observances, feasts, and acts of worship outlined by God to Moses, the clear understanding of the purpose for which they were building and whose vision they were ultimately working to accomplish, gave Bezalel, Oholiab, and the wise-hearted ones a framework in which to happily work and live. God provided for them not only with spiritual gifts and companions, but with a structure of support to keep them healthy, happy, and productive. It's not enough to say that we have to live the Christian life and follow the teachings of Jesus in our work. It's the daily practices of doing that that make up a life, and the daily practices that make up our faith and our faithfulness. This is the practical how-to when it comes to being formed in the way of Jesus. And for soul makers, this is where our work stems from. Our convictions, principles, ethics, and moral consciousness inform our vision. Our daily quest must be to know, honor, and nurture this part of our lives, to engage in soul craft with the religious commitment we have to our art craft. By discovering and developing rhythms and practices that feed our spiritual character, we develop a framework to govern our lives in order to be grounded in something larger than ourselves, maintain right focus, and resist being run down or swallowed up by the challenges that face us. Finally, Bezalel and Oholiab were given the capacity to teach and lead others. On top of all the skills and knowledge they had and were given, they were also given supernatural capacity for this kind of relationship. To engage, encourage, mentor, develop, mobilize, and organize others. To mobilize the wise-hearted ones in a symbiotic relationship of teacher and teachable, giving the ability for courageous and innovative action. As soul makers, we're charged with developing the courage and faith for innovative and courageous action. We have to consider, how can we frame our work in such a way that it invites action, invites participation and questioning from our audiences? This requires serious consideration as to how we develop the discipline and courage needed to persevere in the face of challenges, in the face of difficulties and negativity that will inevitably come over the course of a career, to develop the capacity and accept the responsibility for leadership. These are the gifts in addition to the gifts of the Spirit, that we as artists should pray for. This is what others should pray for us. And these are the ways we should apprentice ourselves in the way of the Wise-Hearted Ones.
The Wise-Hearted Ones series from the Verge Now podcast is presented by Convergence, hosted and written by Lisa Cole Smith, with original music by Jay Smith and produced by me, Dan ABH. Recorded on location at the lab at Convergence, located in Alexandria, Virginia. For more information on the Wise-Hearted Ones, please visit vergenow.org. You can rate and review this episode on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen and stream all of our podcasts on Spotify, Apple, Podbean, and many, many more.